Our series is called Sink My Life. And it's not like take your boat out into the middle of the lake, blow a hole in the bottom and sink. It's not that. It's sink as like an iPod. Sink. You hook it up to your computer. The files go back and forth between. And it becomes like one. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to connect with Him. He wants us to be with Him. And it's the thing we got to remember. The thing that we get to do is be with God. We spent a long time last week with Easter and Good Friday. That was last week, right? Yeah. Just thinking about the privilege we have of being with God, of being with Him, of getting to know Him. It's amazing that we get to spend time with God and to be in His presence. We get to be changed by being with Him. All we have to do is put value on Him, on our relationship with Him. We need to realize how amazing God is and how valuable time with Him should be. If I get to spend time, like Pastor Ted's coming, we've been friends for a lot of years. If I don't get to see him a lot. We got to sit together for about a half an hour when we were at a conference a couple weeks ago. But since before then, I haven't seen him for probably, we talk on the phone, but we haven't actually been able to sit down and physically talk to each other for about 3 or 4 years. We communicate, talk on the phone a lot, but probably 3 years since I see him. Now, I'm really excited. I emailed him last night and said, just can't wait till you get here. Looking forward to spending time with you because he's a good friend. We love each other. He makes me laugh. He talks to me about things I need to talk about. He's just a really good guy. And I value that time. It's one of the big deals for me about this spring conference is I get to spend some time with Pastor Ted. Now, God is way more amazing than Pastor Ted, as you'll find out next week. Ted's a good guy, but God's a lot better. But I get to spend time with Him, and I'm excited. But I should be 10 times, 20 times, 100 times more excited about being with God, because God is all that. Psalm 8, verse 1, David says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name throughout the earth. Your glory is sung above the heavens. How full of power and glory and strength and honor and might and dominion and all these things is our God. He's all that. He is worthy of all our praise, all our worship, all our adoration, and only He is worthy. Only He is worthy. He's the only one that's all that. We could maybe accomplish something great in our career, and it'll be all that for a minute or two, or maybe an hour. But God's all that all the time. Maybe we could finally get that dream vacation we want. We'll feel some kind of fulfillment or joy from that, but not nearly what we could feel in a relationship with God. In Revelations 4, verse 11, it says, Our Lord and God, You are worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. For You created all things, and by Your will, they were given existence and life. All things were created by Him. All things are in existence because of Him. And He chooses to love me, and He chooses to love you. Think about that. Like, we watch this video with the youth. It's called How Great Is Our God? And he starts talking about, like, if our world was a golf ball and the sun was, something else, that we could fit the sun into our earth into the sun like this thousands and thousands of times. And it went on to say that one of the biggest stars, instead of our earth was the golf ball, then this large star, it would be like having 4 feet of golf balls across the entire state of Texas. And that's how small we are compared to that sun. And we're on this planet just a speck. But God cares about us, and God wants to be involved with us. God spoke the world into existence, but He still loves you. He still loves Fran as an individual. He still knows Fran by name. The Bible says that every hair on her head is numbered. He knows us, and He loves us. Even though there's so much else going on, He's done so many other things, but He chooses to love us and spend time with us. That's absolutely amazing. So how will we respond to God? How will we respond to His love? Will we just like be blown away? Will we be excited and expectant? Or will we just be like, yeah, whatever. Whatever. Because I think a lot of times we treat God that way. Like, whatever. But God is huge, and He loves us. He gave His life for us. The more I focus on the privilege it is to know and be known by God, the more God rocks my world. The more He changes me, the more He brings me from one place to a new place. I was talking to someone this morning, and both of us have been on a big journey the last couple of years. And when we look back, we say, the journey, the person we were 2 years ago is not the person we are today. By the grace and by the love of God, we are something totally different. But it's because of God and His grace and His mercy and His love that we could even be here. So today we want to continue our series entitled Sink My Life. I want to just take a few moments to review what we talked about about 2 weeks ago. Continue on from there. 2 weeks ago we talked about prioritizing our life. Because a lot of times life is good, but we mess up our priorities. We get things messed up. And we talked about the fact that if we're going to have a life that's in sync with God, we're going to have God as the center of our life. God is going to have to be everything to us. That we're going to have to really focus on Him and have Him become the center. I talked to you about a quote by C.S. Lewis that's been rattling around in my brain. I love C.S. Lewis, so I like reading his stuff. And this quote, heard it years ago, heard it a couple years ago, heard it again. I was reading a blog about a month ago, and just heard it again. And it's just been rattling in my brain and just inspiring me to live more fully for God. And this is what the quote says. We're half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and lust and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to keep on making mud pies in the slums because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a vacation at the beach. If I really wanted to be happy, I would seek God. Oh, but God is abstract. It takes effort to reach God, so I settle. I settle for weak amusements that require no effort. What a lazy fool I am. And I have to admit, when I read that, a lot of times I'm that kid building mud pies in the slums. A lot of times I'm seeking pleasure in the world around me instead of seeking pleasure in the God who created me. We all realize that it takes more effort, that it takes focus, it takes faith, it takes a belief in God to actually reach out and experience God's presence in our life. It's not as simple as me just going to talk to Tom, or me, pursuing a career, or me just having a happy family, or me, just whatever. We get so caught up in just doing life. We get so caught up in pursuing, as it says, drink and lust and ambition, when infinite joy is offered to us. If I want to be truly happy, I would seek God. But God is abstract. It takes effort. And a lot of times we just don't want to take the effort. And we settle. And we settle. And as it says in Romans, in a lot of ways we've exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and we've worshipped the created thing instead of the Creator Himself. And I know that's hard to deal with. That's hard to think about. It's hard to even own up to and admit to. But a lot of times we've found joy in the stuff that is not eternal. When things that are eternal are passing us by every day, and we're too tired, or we don't have the energy, or we don't have the connection with God to really pursue them. I think in a lot of ways we're settled for building mud pies in the slums instead of building sandcastles on the beach. I think we live in the shadow lands of what God has for us to a large degree. We enjoy moments with God. We enjoy some time with God. But then we go back to living in this world that's kind of half-hearted. God never meant it to be that way. I think after conference we're going to talk about in this whole series, Sync, is about risk, about taking a chance of making a jump, jumping off a cliff, of just following God. So I think a lot of times we just settle. We just like go in our daily grind and we do our day-to-day stuff. I was really excited this week. We talked a couple weeks ago at youth about the fact that there's a world out there that's hurting, that the world is unjust in a lot of ways. There's kids every 8 seconds that a kid starves in this world, dies of starvation in this world, every 8 seconds. And we're just really decided to make an effort as a group of young people to make a difference in the world, to make a difference. And we have one young girl in our group that's probably 13 years old. This weekend, she made it her mission to raise some money to feed some kids. And this weekend, she raised like $110, her and her friend. And just, you know, like it was just like they're going to feed hungry people because they care, but they're willing to take a jump. They're willing to do something that's bigger than themselves and experience the joy and the pleasure of doing that. As a family, we've talked about it because we're trying to do our part. We want to be part of it. And we're saying, well, you know what? Want it to be part of our whole family. So we've decided as a family that one night a week we just eat a sandwich for supper instead of a big meal and give the money that's left over from that to help feed hungry people. We're going to just, you know, it's not a big jump, but anyway, I don't know where I'm going with that. But anyway, we just need to think and ask God what we can do to really just make a difference in this world. We can make a difference. We can have some fun serving Jesus. We can have a lot of fun serving Jesus. We just need to get our hearts and our heads into it. We're just catching a slight glimpse of the glory and the power of God that He actually has for us. And that's sad. I love conference. I love going to a conference and being refreshed. I tell you, it's fun. And most of us that have gone to spend some prolonged time with God come up with this feeling of just like, feels so good. You feel like, wow, this is the way life should be every day. And it should be that way every day. But sometimes we just think it's for these little moments of time, these seconds, these partial times, because we lose track, we lose sight. We live life in the moment, and we plan for this world to be our world, this world to be where we're all about. This is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21. He said, so Jesus told them a story. A rich man's farm produced a big crop. And he said to himself, what can I do? I don't have a place large enough to store everything. And later he said, now I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones where I can store all my grain and other goods. Then I'll say to myself, you've stored up enough good things to last for years to come. Live it up, eat, drink, enjoy yourself. But God said to him, you fool, tonight you will die. Then you'll get what you have stored up. This is what happens to people who store up everything for themselves but are poor in the sight of God. I think a lot of times, and as we're talking about this whole idea of building mud pies in the slums, we store up, we build up, we're planning for our retirement, we're planning for our comfort, we want a bigger house, a nicer car. We just think if these things could come to us, it would all be cool. And I'm telling you, I don't have a problem with a bigger house and a nicer car. I think God can bless His people, and that's all cool. But when that becomes what it's all about, that's where the problem is. When we start seeking that instead of seeking God, when we start living for that instead of living for God, if we allow that to stop our life's call and our life's mission because everything is about that, there's a problem. And Jesus was confronting this and saying, you know what? If it's all about what you've got and that's what's going to hold you, one day you're going to find out that you're poor in the eyes of God. You're poor. You're poor. You're wretched. You know, that's what he was talking about when he was confronting the Laodicean church, when he said, you know, you're lukewarm and you make me want to throw up because you think you've got it all, but you're poor, you're wretched, you're blind, you're naked. And I don't ever want us to be like that as a church. I want us to realize that God has something so much greater. And if we're going to live our life in sync with Him, we got to come to Him. I think that we rely on things of this world too much to bring us fulfillment and satisfaction and joy, when God is really the only thing that can bring anything to our life that is lasting. I don't care if you're a Christ follower or not, rich or poor, man or woman, everything that we need is found in a relationship with God. If you think you got it all together and you're not following Jesus, well, cool, but you're not going to find everything you need until you find Jesus. You might be a Christian here this morning and you're chasing everything except God. Then you're going to find out it's everything that you need is found in Him. So if we're going to get our priorities in order, our life with God, our life must have it centering God. I think we think in terms of lists many times when it comes to priorities. God first, family second, you know, like job or calling third, recreation or calling fourth, you know, health, money, whatever. We go down this list. And I don't know about you, but a lot of times I found this list kind of difficult to deal with. I think that setting lists, and I think lists are a blessing. Don't get me wrong. I'm thank God for people who make lists. They make the world turn around, and they make this church happen. So on Sunday mornings when we get here, everything's in order, and we can do what we do. And they can get like the job done on a day like yesterday when we have lists are important. But I'm talking about lists in orders of priority, of how we prioritize our life. I think that sometimes they're just a factory that churn out guilt, shame, and just this whole idea that we can never measure up to God. I taught people for years. I've taught young people for over 25 years and always taught, prioritize your life. These are the way the priorities should go. In marriage counseling, when I was taught, and also when I taught marriage counseling, these are the priorities. This is the way it should go. But for me, I just found like every time I tried to do that, I just ended up feeling guilty because I couldn't work it out, couldn't figure it out, couldn't get it right, couldn't do it. So I just want to talk about a few problems with setting priorities by list this morning. And if you're a list person, I'm not attacking you, honestly, I'm not. I just want to give you a new way to look at life, hopefully God's way, so we could just do this better. But at the same time, maybe you'll identify. The first problem with setting lists for priorities, it tends to compartmentalize our life. If I say that I got to put God first and I'm going to take this time with God each day, I'm going to spend, you know, my hour in devotion, time with God, and then I'm going to go to work. A lot of times, we kiss Jesus goodbye, and we say, I'll see you tonight, Jesus, because I'm going to work now. Now, I'm not saying everybody is doing that, but I'm just saying if we go just by list alone, it's easy to compartmentalize. Our jobs are one thing, our family's another thing, God's another thing, and we have a hard time to mesh them all together because we're trying to fit it all into this category, and it really is difficult. When we compartmentalize, we often shut God out of the rest of our life, and we give, again, Jesus a hug when we go to work and say, see you tonight. I don't know if you realize that a lot of times, I know people, and I have been that person. I'm the kind of person, seriously. Christine and I have a great relationship. We love each other. But when I'm at work, I'm like, you know, I just want to work, keep my head in work. So like when I used to sell cars for John on Saturdays, I told Christine, don't call me. I got to keep my head in the game. I got to keep thinking. I got to keep, because my life was compartmentalized a lot. I would work in the church all week long. I'd go sell cars on Saturday. I'd be back at church on Sunday. I'd be doing all these things in order. And many times they were messed up. Second thing, a lot of times lists don't actually make sense as far as priorities go. I've tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and tried to get these list things right as far as priorities go for me. But honestly, for me, this dog just don't hunt. It just doesn't work for me in the real world. It just does not happen. Here's the thing. It makes sense to me that whatever is my top priority in my life is what I would spend the most time on or with. But honestly, I spend... And I'm not a guy who really loves sleep, but I probably spend more time sleeping than doing anything else. Or at least, if not sleep, then work. It's always sort of a tie-up between the two. And then after work and sleep, I would guess that for most people, the next thing in their list is recreation. You know, read a book, watch TV, Go for a bike ride. Do whatever you do. The next thing on their list is probably time with family, if we go count by time. And everybody says, no, because we're in the room together. But I'm telling you, I read this statistic back 25 years ago, and I know it's even got worse since then, about fathers and their children. They say the average father spends less than 7 minutes a day in actual valuable interaction with their children. Isn't that horrible? But we get our times all mixed up. And the last thing, as far as time goes, on our list, and you know, like, I mean, some people pray for an hour, hour and a half a day. They'll spend time in reading God's word, but that's probably the thing you spend the least amount of time doing. And for me, it's so confusing, because if I really love God, then I would be like spending more time with God, and I feel guilty because I'm not spending more time, and I'm doing all this work, and I'm doing all this sleeping, and I'm doing. If we just have more hours in the day, I could get my relationship with God right. The list can go on and on and on. But a lot of times it just doesn't make sense. The third thing about lists is too much about life is really out of our control. In James chapter 4, verse 13 to 15, it says, you should know better than to say, today or tomorrow we'll go to the city, we'll do business there for a year, we'll make a lot of money. What do you know about tomorrow? How can you be so sure about your life? It's nothing more than mist that appears for only a little while before it disappears. You should say, if the Lord lets us live, we will do these things. Guaranteed, when I decide, I know many times I've sat in church on a Sunday morning and I say, this week's going to be different. Tomorrow is going to be different. Tomorrow, I'm going to spend some time with God. I'm going to spend more quality time with God. I'm going to take more time. And guaranteed, tomorrow morning, when I plan to get up a little bit early and spend a little bit of extra time, is the morning my alarm clock doesn't go off. And I wake up 45 minutes late, I look at the clock and I go, and I run into the shower, I try and shave my head, I leave spots everywhere, I cut it, I'm like doing, and I'm a mess. And I rush to work and I get to work and I'm already stressed before I start, and guaranteed that's the morning I'm going to have people problems, stress and issues, and then I'm going to drive home in my car, guaranteed it'll be the day that it breaks down, and then I get home, I have my supper, and some nice person will stop by that doesn't know how to leave, and at 11:30 at night when they finally walk out the door, or 12 or 1, we've had happen at times past, you fall into bed and you say, I wanted to today, but I just didn't have time. Because there's so many things about life that are just out of our control. And besides that, devil's a bad devil, and he's always looking to keep us separated from God. There's just so much about that makes it hard to do things right. And when we don't get it right, we feel guilt, we feel shame, and we just quit. We give up. We just say, somebody can do this, but I can't do this. Somebody can follow Jesus in this way, but it's not me. Somebody could walk in the flesh and not walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but not me. I can't do it. I'm not cut out for this. So this idea of making lists is good because it's simple. We can sort of say boom, 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 but in a lot of ways it doesn't work for us in our culture. It doesn't work for us in our lives. So there's a very different way of looking at it. The Hebrews looked at life a lot of times as being circular with God in the middle and everything about that flowing out from that relationship with God. So if we look at priorities from this perspective, I think it makes more sense. If we look at life coming from the center, then it's easier to understand the priorities thing. I look at life now as a wheel with God at the center, with all the things I do as the spokes that run out from that, and then God as the rim. So everything about life, God's my center, God's my boundaries, and everything that is about my life is contained in the realm of who God is. So everything flows from that. Now, as easy as that is, if everything about life flows from the center, right, then if our life is centered in something else, everything about our life is going to flow from that. If everything about our life is about money, then everything is going to flow from the aspect of money. So how I do relationships, will come into the whole context of money. How I work, how I should get paid, comes into the whole aspect of money. Some of us, our center is our appearance or our image. Pharisees were like that. It was their image that they were concerned with. They had a certain way they would dress. They would, if they were a decent Pharisee, they would have, any Pharisee would have the first 5 books of the Bible memorized, and a lot of them a lot more. They had it all together as far as they were concerned. They knew God's word. They knew how to dress. And they came and they presented themselves, and God said, Jesus said to them, you whitewashed sepulchers. You brood of vipers. It wasn't about that. It was about having a life centered in God. This is what Proverbs 4:23 says. Guard your heart more than anything else, because the source of your life flows from it. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Keep your heart centered in God, because that's where your life flows from. In Luke 12, verse 34, it says, it's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place where you will want to be and end up being. The real deal is that we as Christians are supposed to be so wrapped up in who Jesus is that everything we do flows out of our relationship with God. Instead of God being a part of what we do, God is what we do. Instead of God being a part of our lives, then God is our life. Instead of our lives being a wheel and God being the center, the outside and the inside, God is the wheel. He is the whole deal. He is everything, and our relationship flows from that. So instead of a list with God at the top, we now have everything in our life, about our life, flowing out of Him and centered in Him. So the second priority is not family. The first priority is God, and family is part of that and flows from that. It's now not God then family, it's God and family. God and that God is in our family, and our family could bring glory to God. It's not God and then work, it's God in my work, God in getting glory from what I do through work, God being a part of all of that. It's not God and my relationships, it's God in my relationships. It's God flowing through the relationships and being everything. It's being a Christian 24/7, 365 days a year, living with God and God through us. The Bible has so many references to that. Pray without ceasing, continually, steadfastly, every day in prayer and fasting. All these things, and he just keeps talking about a life lived in God. In him we live and move and have our being. Jesus is our source, and everything flows from that. The Bible's really, really open about that. No longer hugging Jesus goodbye when we go to work. And I think that there's a lot of people that never did that because they were living from the center all the time. But instead, it's with Jesus with you at work. Jesus with you in your career. Jesus with you in your relationships. It's being sitting across the table from somebody who might not know the Lord and asking God, what would you want to say? And allowing God to speak through you. I was sitting here, we were selling the big old tractor we had. And this man came, and he was following God for a while. He just started talking to me, and we just started talking. And he gave his heart to Jesus many, many years ago, and his marriage had fallen apart since then. And he had married another woman who didn't really, think God was important. And he had gotten so far away from God. And we just sat out there and talked and started talking about God and what God could do in our lives and what God wanted to do in his life. And we prayed, and we asked God to help him to, and it just wasn't just because I was trying to pitch a deal. It's just because God is our life. And when we connect and talk to God, God's speaking to us about the people in our lives and the people we meet and just helping us to share his love with them. Our lives cannot be compartmentalized any longer. We are dead, and our life is now hidden with Christ in God. We no longer have a life that's all different pieces that don't fit together well. But now everything is tied together in Christ. Acts 17, verse 28 says, for in him, Christ, we live and move and have our being. Reality about life is that there's times where We just have to spend more time at work than what we like. Or maybe that we think is like works well for our priorities. I think everybody that works realizes there's times when work calls and we've got to respond. We've just got to go and do a little bit of extra work, a little bit of extra hours, push a little bit harder for a while and do that thing. And that's okay if our life is centered in God, because it's flowing out of that. It's working through that. It's God with us at work. It's God flowing through us at work. There's times as families we just need to withdraw and be together as a family, to spend more time, to strengthen our families, to work together with our families. Some families take big vacations together. Other times, families in the middle of a crisis will take a step back. And that's all cool, because to put some emphasis on family once in a while that's above normal is good, because if it's centered in Christ, the wheel keeps on spinning. The problem comes when we put too much emphasis on one thing for too long. It's like tightening up the spoke on your wheel too tight. There's too much pressure on that one spoke. This past year, got going in this renovation and got going in life in general and just worked too much and got too much going on and just start feeling like it was too much relying on me, to where the spokes were too tight and things started snapping and things were coming apart for me. But I had to go back and say, this is where my life needs to be centered. And we all need to do that once in a while. We need to ask, does my life show the fruit of Jesus being in the center? Because if we look at life as a wheel and Jesus be in the center, or whatever's in the center, whatever is the center of our life, everything flows from that, it's pretty easy to identify when Jesus isn't our center. I have someone I know that I've known for a lot of years. I actually have a few people I know that their life is all about money. It's all about money. And my relationship with that person is dependent on whether or not it costs them money or not. If they can come out on the good side of the relationship for money, it's all good. But as soon as I start to cost them, I am out the door. And people that work with these people, they've been stung by their selfishness, because everything is measured by how much can I make. When they walk into any new situation, they think, what does it cost me? Or how much money can I make on this deal? They when it comes to their family, they will put money before family. If their spouse were to get in a car accident, the first question out of their mouth would be, how is the car? It would be all about that. And I know people that do live like this. That when it comes to their relationship with God, it's if I put this much in the offering, how much will I get back? How much will I get back? And that's an easy way to tell that it's off center. I know some families who their children are the center of their life. They would move across the nation to get their kid in a certain school or in a certain sports program or in a certain, you know, musical program or whatever. They would move their whole family for this child. And everything about their life flows out of who this child is and who this child is going to be. And God help the poor person, whoever suggests to that person that that child is less than perfect. They will face the wrath of God in their life, because that child is the God in their life, and you will face the wrath that comes along with that. There's a lot of us that maybe career has become what's the most important in our life, and everything flows from that. Well, I was talking to this person this week, and he was telling me that, you know, like, he was all wrapped up. His parents were sick. And that's sad. But his parents were sick, and it was prolonged sickness, and he was always over at his parents' house, always over there. And his wife was saying, honey, we need time with you as a family. We need, the kids need you. I need you. We need you. And that person ended up losing everything, because something else became the center of his world other than God. Because the only way to keep a life with the priorities set properly, where things will keep spinning and things will keep going in proper order, is when our life is centered in Jesus. Jesus is the answer for the world today, for your life today. He's the only answer. And unless we get our lives centered in Him, it's never going to go well. It's not going to go well. There's so many other things. Some of us as husbands can't say no to our wives, or we put our wife before everything else, and what our wife feels or what our wife wants is what we do or what we get. Sometimes, like I said, I had a bit of a stint there for going for 7 or 8 months where I was just like the church and my job had become everything to me. I was doing this and I'd lost my connection with God. I was losing my connection with my family. I was getting a little bit mentally unstable, to be honest with you, and I just needed to get back to being with God. We need to keep Jesus in the center of our lives if we're going to have our life go well. Here's the thing, I'd love to teach you priorities and how to keep your priorities in line, but I can't. So this message really has been a waste of your time. All I really want to tell you this morning, it's not a waste of your time. What I want to tell you this morning is if you'll center your life in Jesus, if you'll really get hungry and you'll really start to search for Him and seek Him and spend time with Him and love His Word, love Him, your priorities will fall into line. It'll start coming together for you. It'll start working. But unless you do that, life's going to always be off balance. You're going to be serving something else, trading the truth of God for a lie, worshiping the created thing rather than the Creator, and allow all the issues of life to flow out of that thing. Whether it's money, whether it's family, whether it's job, whether it's, you know, image, whether whatever it is, you'll allow everything to flow out of that. Life's going to fall out of balance. Life's going to come wheels off. And then you'll probably have the audacity to say, why, God, is it like this? But I'm telling you today, if you'll turn your hearts toward God, if you'll center your life in Him, He'll look after you. It'll fall together for you. If you're connecting with God and you're reading His Word, then life will flow out of that. In our culture, we say, don't just stand there, do something. But in God's economy, God says, don't just do something. Just sometimes just stand there. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still and I know that I love you and I care about you. I read this scripture a lot, and we should all probably know it off by heart by now, but it says in Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me, Jesus says. Get away with me. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Sometimes we're so obsessed with working and doing. Sometimes we're so obsessed with just doing something. And God is more obsessed with us spending time with Him, with connecting with Him, of making Him part of our everyday life. I remember this, you know, just years ago, I was working in Stelco in Hamilton. I was working up on top of a coke oven battery. Now I know, you know, that we have some people here who understand what it's like. But it was in Hamilton Stelco, not Nanticoke Stelco, right? So it's worse. And there's just like sulfur smoke and like fire. And every 2 weeks I burn a pair of boots off down to the steel shank on them. And it was just like, we used to call it our hell simulator. Please keep your hands and feet inside the ride at all times and enjoy your stay. We'd make these jokes, you know. But I'm standing up on top of the battery one day, and I'm water blasting with tar. I'm cleaning out this line, and there's yellow smoke all around me. I got this big air pack on. And I look over toward the mountain in Hamilton, and I see the sun. It's about, you know, 5:30 in the morning, and the sun's just coming up over the mountain. I was just so overcome by the presence of the Lord in that moment. And I just thought, you know what, God, you're everywhere. If I'll allow you, you'll be everywhere with me. It's not just a place where we go to church or we spend an hour a day, but if we allow God to be part of our everyday life, He'll surprise us in the weirdest places and at the weirdest moments. I was so overcome. I was just standing up on top of that coke oven, singing for all my might. You know, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. I stand, we go up to Manitoulin Island every year, and we're up on a trail called the Cup and Saucer Trail. It's about 25 or 30 kilometers of climbing rocks, and I don't know, is it that far? 12 each way? Each way, right? Okay, so I exaggerate. I make a living talking. but we're up on this trail, and you look over across some of these cliffs, and I'm scared of heights, so I stand way back from the cliff, but you see the beauty of God laid out before you, and you just say, God, you're so awesome. You're so beautiful. God will be a part of your life if you will allow it. He wants us to be obsessed with his word and his way of doing things and allow our lives to flow from there. Then when we do that, our lives will come into balance and we can live God's way. I heard a story this week from my friend Pastor John over at Calvary Pentecostal. He was talking about their Easter egg hunt. And he was saying that when they were doing their hunt, he has a bunch of young kids. His daughter's really young. He has two young boys. And he was helping his daughter because his wife was involved in something else at the church there. So the boys were sort of on their own. So he's collecting eggs with his daughter. And he's doing really well. She's collecting like tons of eggs. But he started thinking about his boys, and they're a little bit young, and they're sort of the younger end of the crowd over there. And if you've ever been to an Easter egg hunt, it's like every man for himself and survive if you can. So he's thinking, well, my boys probably aren't going to do that good, so I better start collecting eggs for them. And it turns out when they got home, they started counting, and they didn't do very well. The girl and Pastor John had about 250 eggs each in their bags, and the boys, one had 12 and one had 20. And they were sort of fighting over whose bag was whose. So your kids have probably never done that, but you know, whoever's got the most eggs, they want that bag. So Pastor John said to his sons, why don't you just pour your eggs into my bag, and then you guys could share it. He said, my sons hung on to their bags. They didn't want to let them go because they didn't really believe that there was something better for them if they would just pour them together and share. And he said, I was reminded about how we're like that as Christians a lot of times, that we are willing to hold on to these things in our life that we think are so big, but it's really like that bag of Easter eggs with 12 in it when they could have a bag with 250 in it. We hold on to things that are of little value and of little importance when God's calling us into a life with himself, a life full of purpose, a life full of meaning, a life that's full of ultimate joy and peace. So this morning, I just want to ask this question as the band comes to play. So what are you going to do with Jesus today? Are you gonna say, you know what, maybe I made a mistake and my life has become about some other things and the other things are in the center of my life, but today I realize that and I want to make Jesus the center of my life? Or are you just going to say, well, whatever? Today I just want to challenge you. If you know you've walked down the road this way, it's all good. God planned for that. He planned to save you from your sin. He planned to lead you and guide you. He sent the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. And he's speaking this morning to people in this room. And he's inviting you into a bigger world with himself, with him in the center and with a life flowing out of him. So this morning, we're going to just bow our heads and pray. For those of you that have never met the Lord, we're going to pray a prayer this morning that's the greatest prayer ever prayed. It'll change your life. It'll make you a new person. It'll change me so much and so many of the people that I know and that I do life with. God's changed our life. He sent his son 2,000 years ago because we had a debt we couldn't pay. He sent his son Jesus to die a horrible death on a cross. Perfect man, never sinned, was perfectly obedient, obeyed the law to the letter, loved people, loved his father, did whatever his father told him to do. And he laid down his life on a cross for me and for you. And if we want to walk into a life that ultimately is free and is ultimately full of joy, then we need to submit our lives to him. We need to ask him to be the Lord of our life. We need to put him in the center of our life, as we talked about this morning. So we're going to pray a prayer. We'll pray it together. If you pray it and you really believe it in your heart, you want Jesus to become part of your life this morning, he will. You can pray this prayer and it just mean nothing. You don't care, you don't mean it. But this morning, so you don't have to be worried about praying it. But if you pray it and you mean it, God's going to rock your world and change you. So let's pray this morning. Dear Lord, I thank you that you came to this earth and you gave your life for me. That you died on the cross to set me free from sin. You died on the cross to bring me into a new life with you. Come into my heart today. Be my Lord today. Change me. From today and on, I want to serve you. I realize I can come just as I am. Come into my heart. Cleanse me from my sin. Help me to walk with you. In Jesus' name. Pray that prayer this morning.